Among the education proposals President Bush announced this week are plans for more testing and greater efforts to hold schools accountable. Principals will bear much of the responsibility, yet many of them aren't prepared to deal with changing expectations. They're being challenged to become instructional leaders, not just administrators. In her second report on principals, NPR's Wendy Kaufman examines what's missing in school leadership and how the next generation of leaders is being prepared.
From the outside, Miller Hall looks quite traditional, a lovely old Gothic-style building on the University of Washington quad. But walk inside and it's anything but traditional. Here in a large classroom, about 30 principals in training, nearly all of them experienced teachers, have broken into small groups to discuss the qualities of leadership.
Well, I talked about the human force of leadership while I was at my internship site. And so we were talking about it, and then all of a sudden she gets this phone call from a parent who claims that her child is being abused by
What sets this program apart from most principal training programs is its emphasis on real-world experiences. While would-be teachers have to student teach in a classroom, very few would-be principals have the same kind of intensive hands-on experience. But here, students spend at least half of every day at a school with a mentor principal who guides them and gives them real problems to solve. Then the students go back to the classroom. They combine theoretical knowledge with what they've learned on the job and share their experiences with faculty and each other.
We prompt this group to never forget when they're out there on the site, that they can be agents of positive change and improvement.
Kathy Kimball heads the university's nationally recognized Danforth Training Program for principals.
Schools tend to be very conservative and very unwilling to change. And what we want, what we recognize is that schools need to change. And so we're trying to prepare people to challenge the status quo, to be able to go into a school and analyze the culture, look at what's going on there and ask themselves, what's wrong here?
I haven't had a chance to really reflect on who I am as a person or who I was as a teacher. And this program has pushed me to think about, man, the type of leader that I am and what I bring to the table.
Isaiah Johnson and his colleagues have spent a lot of time examining their values, their strengths and weaknesses, but they've also focused on the mechanics of running a school, conventional topics such as special education and legal issues. Principals today must be well-versed in a wide variety of topics, child development, labor relations, even insurance liability. The would-be principals in this program have also explored public education's role in a democracy and discussed strategies to make sure everyone is represented at the table. They've grappled with improving instruction and have reflected on principals they had. Peter Banknudsen says none of his colleagues could recall anything about their elementary principals. As for middle school,
for several of us, it was the principal was always behind a locked door. We didn't know who he was, and the assistant principal, you only saw him if you were in trouble. High school, you kind of had a little better sense of who the principal and assistant principals were, but it was still kind of more, if you got in trouble, you went to go see them. So it was something that I hope to change in terms of my role as principal.
Good morning, Emerald Park staff and students. We have just a couple of announcements this morning.
Education reform experts, including Gerald Tarazi of the National Association of Secondary Principals, believe that a good school requires a strong instructional leader at its helm.
We have to change whole schools, not just individual classrooms.
Tarazi says that unless principals can lead the instructional program, coordinate it, assess it, and support those teaching it, there won't be real educational reform. Unfortunately, he says, today's principals don't have time to be instructional leaders because they have too many other things to do.
School boards continue to reward principals for monitoring good cafeterias, having buses come on time, you know, no fights at the football game. That's not what the principal should be doing. It makes no sense. You can't find any business or corporation that is successful that uses their top executives that way. None.
Nor do successful companies choose their leaders the way they are often chosen in education. Right now, says Tom Vander Ark, director of the Educational Initiative at the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, just about any teacher who wants to earn a principal certificate can.
Education is one of the few sectors in our economy where leadership is self-selected. In most other fields, there's an intentional process to early on identify people that have interest and capabilities in leadership. And we do very little of that in education.
In an effort to enhance educational leadership, the Gates Foundation has pledged $100 million for professional development for principals and school superintendents. The rationale, says Van der Ark, is simple.
Every good school has a great principal. There's a one-to-one correlation as far as I'm concerned. I've never visited a great school that didn't have a great principal.
Mike Riley, the superintendent of the Bellevue, Washington School District, is also deeply concerned about school leadership. Too many people, he says, choose to become principals for the wrong reasons.
They are stepping forward because they think it's a way to stay in education and make more money. Or they're stepping forward because, believe it or not, they're tired of the load in the classroom and they think that it would be a cushier job to be a principal. So I think when you have people like that you have the wrong people stepping forward. I think the kind of person that you want is somebody who is a superb teacher, who cares about kids more than anything else, is real focused on doing the right things for kids, even when it's not politically correct or easy.
Superintendent Riley has sent several of his strongest teachers to the University of Washington's training program. It's part of a very conscious effort to grow his own administrators. School districts in Milwaukee, Chicago, and other places are doing the same thing. Back at the university, the would-be principals are about halfway through their training. Program Director Kimball says they are making good progress.
I spend an entire year intensely with this group of students and watch them come in scared and unsure and just beginning to see beyond their classroom role. And I watch them leave ready to enter a role with confidence and competence.
Laurie Harvey, who's thinking about either an elementary school or a middle school for her first assignment as a principal, says she will ask teachers who work for her to be caring demanders.
I expect you first to care about your kids, and that's my priority. And if you can't do that, you need to go somewhere else. And then let's deal with the business of educating kids.
Given the acute shortage of principals, Harvey and most of her classmates are likely to be sitting in the principal's chair come September. Wendy Kaufman, NPR News, Seattle.